The Arthropod. The Arthropod is the home for the wonderful, weird, wacky world of insects. Hosted by Jonathan Larson, Jody Green, and Michael Scavarla.
Welcome back to Arthropod, your entomology podcast. Just a little bit of a muted introduction to this particular episode. I'm Jonathan.
I'm Jody.
You're about to hear an episode that was put together with the Bugs Need Heroes podcast. A little bit of podcast pollination between our crew and theirs. It was a lot of fun, right?
Right. And if you have time to listen to another podcast, please subscribe to their podcast and listen to them. They're hilarious.
Yes, they're very funny. This is another one of our bug comrades in the podcast world. There are more and more of them popping up. I'm very happy to hear that. And this one in particular, they pair art, they pair comic books and insects, all of these things together. So it's really right up my alley. I was pumped when they invited us on the show.
I had no idea what was going on, but it's still very fun.
Do you know who Danny DeVito is? He's referenced
frequently. I do. Okay. Matilda.
Okay, perfect. So look forward to some Danny DeVito talk in this episode. This episode, we were going to drop it as part of our November stuff, but it's now kind of being used in place of an episode we alluded to at the end of our fly episode, our Halloween spooktacular. We had talked about we were going to meet up with Dr. Crystal Hans of Purdue University, and we were going to do sort of a director's commentary on an episode of a forensic TV show. And we tried real hard, and we failed equally as hard.
It is the floptacular.
The fall family food and fun floptacular.
It was... oh, so sad.
It was tough. I thought that we had things figured out beforehand, and it turns out that we live in a very capitalistic society. They don't want you to be able to Hulu over Zoom for some reason. And so our original plan got kind of scrapped real quick, and we tried to pivot a few times, but things just didn't quite work out. The audio wasn't really good. And instead of subjecting people to garbled mess of nonsense featuring some audio from a TV episode of Bones, I thought that I would go back to the drawing board and try to figure out how to do that right. And we'll do that probably in the next month or two with Dr. Hans from Purdue. But for now, we hope you enjoy this episode as a replacement. And it features us talking with the Bugs Need Heroes podcast about one of Jody's favorite things.
Cockroaches.
So stay tuned. Listen to that. There'll be a little more introduction from them to the episode, and we will catch you here soon with our show where we're going to do a bed bug spectacular with Jody.
Go to Paris.
All right, let's see here. that seems to be my go-to starting the podcast noise. It's just me clearing my throat over and over again. Let me scroll down to... do you want me to do the regular intro, Derek?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, okay. If it's bad, I'll change it. I mean, I can just snip. Thanks. Snip.
Thanks. That's the confidence I like to hear. Hello, friends and fiends. Welcome to Bugs Need Heroes, a podcast where an artist and an entomologist team up to illustrate the inspiring abilities of insects by creating bug-themed superheroes. I'm Amanda.
And I'm Kelly.
Producer Derek and Rotunda are also here. Before we get started creating this bug-themed hero, what is bugging you, Kelly?
Breathe, Amanda. Take some breath.
You always say that like I don't just zip through that intro every single time. Speaking fast is one of my super abilities.
One of your superpowers? What's bugging me? I just got back from a week-long stay with my in-laws. Oh, yeah.
You've been all over creation this summer.
It's been a lot of travel, but it was nice. But being with your partner's family for an entire week is a lot. Mm-hmm. Even if they're wonderful, it's a lot.
I have a mother-in-law. We call her Saint Linda because she is like the nicest person on the planet. But yeah, a week, you just feel like you have to be on all the time. You're always on.
Constantly on. And they're always asking me bug questions, which is great.
Is this a brown recluse? Is this a brown recluse?
My answer is always yes.
It has wings. Is it a brown recluse?
This is the first instance of a butterfly recluse. It's totally fine. Don't worry about it.
I'm telling you, if spiders could fly, that would really change the landscape of the whole planet.
Well, their body plan isn't really made for that, but I think I would love it. I would love it.
I just mean the people would go underground. You wouldn't see people. Oh, maybe. Because the winged spiders would take over.
It would just be me and the flying spiders living on top of the surface of the planet. It's fine. I mean, they do balloon. You get babies ballooning around. That's close.
Yeah, but I can still take care of them when they're ballooning in size. They're true. Not yet my enemy at that point.
What's bugging you, Amanda? Anything?
No. I am the Kelly this week with nothing to complain about. Kelly really. This week.
I love it. I love it.
I'm going to start speaking like this very quietly and calmly. I'm Kelly now. Why don't you introduce our friends this week, Kelly? Lovingly met.
Am I NPR? I feel like I'm NPR.
Yes. Oh my gosh, you'd fit right in on NPR. Are you kidding me? Well, like, this week
on Bugcast. Well, we do have some special guests today, which I'm very excited about because I listen to their podcast.
Did you listen to the podcast while you were in the car for 100 hours driving?
No, I listened to an audiobook by John Scalzi, who is one of the best sci-fi writers out there. Sorry, Arthropod team. I did listen to your podcast while I was running because I ran every day while I was out there.
To escape. So
we do have Jonathan Larson, Jody Green, and Michael Sparla here from Arthropod. Welcome to the doctors, and what's bugging you? How about that?
Thank you for the introduction and the invitation today. I've never been so classically introduced before in NPR fashion. I appreciate that. I guess, Jody, do you want to go first with what's bugging you? Do you have something offhand?
Yeah.
Let's hear it.
I'm at that age where my eyeballs are doing weird things, and I need readers, and I'm kind of almost out of denial. So last night I got 6 pairs of readers delivered.
Oh my god. Pairs later.
But like this week, those guys saw me in my glasses for the first time. I've not been able to read things. I've had to stand behind people that are looking at their phones like 6 feet away. And so, yeah, I mean, I might be doing this too.
Oh yeah.
So that's the meme, because I am old.
The mom reading the meme look, just
Yes, this is humorous. Thank you for sharing
that. You got to wear all of them at once so that you look like a bug?
Yeah, and then I'm going to need those shades that go over. Like, I already have contacts in. It's just I can't figure it out right now.
Wow. Yeah, last time I got my glasses, which was about 4 months ago, the doctor said, well, I could increase your prescription, but then you won't be able to see the computer screen as well. So
yes, say no to that. I could probably fly a drone, but I cannot like see anything. And I work with bugs and I can't see any of those.
You need that close up vision for bugs. Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah.
The end of the nose. Yeah.
So. Boys.
Boys.
Gentlemen. Make me go first.
I just knew that you'd have something. I could see it in your spirit. In your aura. Mike, do you want to talk about the yellow-legged hornet?
Sure, I guess that's bugging me.
Yeah,
I got my first interview request. So they found a yellow-legged hornet down in Georgia. I don't know if y'all have talked about that, but it's another Vespa species related to European hornets, which are here, and northern giant hornets, which everybody called murder hornets, which are up in Washington. So I've just been waiting for the deluge of concerned people reaching out to me when they see all the other wasps and hornets that they see, concerned that no, this is the yellow-legged hornet now. But it doesn't have murder in the name, so like I'm thinking maybe it's not going to take off so bad. We'll see. I have got one interview already though. Probably get some more next week. So I posted about it on Twitter and like got my first
interview and it was like a meme of a sandstorm coming, like I can just see on the horizon. Oh, yeah. So we'll see.
Derude begins in the background.
Yeah, like I don't know.
Increasingly getting louder.
I don't know how bad it's going to get. Hopefully not bad. Maybe it's bugging me. We'll see.
They did try. They kept called, the titles I kept seeing were Murder Hornet Cousin, Murder Hornet Relative in Georgia. Murder Hornet Went Down to Georgia.
Yeah.
Manslaughter Hornet. I like that.
Not quite as bad.
Not quite as bad. Third degree manslaughter hornet.
It's not premeditated. It just happens to be here. No. You know?
He's a crime of passion. Crime of passion hornet. Yeah.
My bugging me thing is bug related as well. It involves some caterpillar trials I'm trying to accomplish. This is a core of dirt and turf. Mm-hmm. I was hired by some companies to do some research on black cutworm last summer and this summer, and it's supposed to be like the easiest trial to do in my type of work, and they just keep dying. All the cutworm caterpillars I put out, every single one of them die. And I've asked the site that I'm working with, I'm like, did you spray these plots? What happened? They're like, no, we haven't done anything. So now I'm concerned that this grass is like extra special and it's resistant to caterpillars. So I'm monitoring them here.
Yeah, that's a whole new study you've got.
Yeah, yeah, that would be right. I would be like, well, forget this. I accidentally found impervious grass. I'm concerned because, was it like 2 years ago? They said they pumped some sort of fumigant into this turf. Like they put a fumigant out and then they tarped it and had gas masks on so they didn't die while they were outside. And I'm like, well, how long does that last?
Yeah.
It's not methyl bromide, Jody. It was something else.
I didn't know if they had residual in fumigants.
Yeah.
They don't, usually.
Right. So, not usually. I'm just being super dorky because I'm like, why won't my caterpillars live?
You did something to the microbes?
Yeah, they've altered. It's radioactive, probably.
Oh, you're going to get tiny Hulk caterpillars?
Yes, I would love that.
They will be superheroes.
Or I will become Black Cutworm Man, which would be pretty lame.
Cutworm is a legit name. Cutworm. Yeah. Here he but comes. Cutworm.
I am Cutworm. Give me your wallet.
Just you let him in your
I think I believe Jesus. The threat is inherent. What will happen?
What are you gonna do to me?
It's in the name. Cutworm. Come on.
Well, we're not here to talk about cutworm, although we could, because I'm happy to talk about any bug ever. But I think our topic today, which I'm excited for you guys to talk about, because I worked with them for my master's dissertation, but not extensively, but cockroaches. So we're talking roaches today.
Amanda,
what are your feelings on roaches?
I don't have a lot here. I know that they're everywhere. The cockroach will find you. But in the Pacific Northwest, they're just not, you know, you're not that far from New York, Kelly.
I'm basically in New York, yeah.
Yeah, so you're in the cockroach. You've met a fella before. Whereas we don't really have them here. We get moths and ants and all kinds of other things. But cockroach isn't high on, you really have to mess up a place for a cockroach to...
Well, I'm
up.
Sure you have native cockroaches out there.
I know that we do.
Roaches aren't just the dudes that invade your home.
Right. So they're around. Maybe this is just the media bias. Is I just think of them as you turn on the light and they're all there, you know. Oh. And then they all leave. I know them from WALL-E, infamous children's movie. My one experience with a cockroach was in Hawaii. When I was a teenager, it was in my hotel room and I just gently pushed it with my foot off the balcony and watched it fall 30 stories to, I assume it's doom, but possibly not because it's a cockroach.
It
probably was just fine. It was just like, ugh, inconvenient that I'm down here now.
So our arthropod team, have you worked with roaches or come across them?
I'm going to interject one second.
Oh, sure, Derek.
Amanda has met cockroaches before in our parents' backyard. They had that wood pile.
Oh.
Do you know what I'm talking about, Amanda?
To us right now.
Well, I don't think she knows.
Is there a specific story you're talking about?
There were damp wood termites in the wood.
Oh.
Whoa.
Okay, so you're talking about that time we were all having a picnic and they all just emerged at once and we were all just covered in what I thought was termites? Is that what you're referencing?
Yeah, yeah. Well,
or are you referencing that termites are social cockroaches?
Yes.
Are you telling me now that termites are a type of cockroach, or is cockroach a type of termite?
Termites are cockroaches.
What are you even saying to me right now? I have always thought the termite was the cousin of our friend the ant.
No. This is my favorite part of the podcast where Amanda learns something new.
Yeah, it's fun to see the faith as this is happening.
Oh, yeah. Put on the... okay. So, back up here. So, no, I have nothing to say because I'm flabbergasted that termites are cockroaches.
Who would be the best person to describe and explain this would be Michael.
He's clicking around. Sorry.
Sorry. No, I was muted because I was on iNaturalist and Bug Guide seeing what native cockroach species occur in Washington State.
I was too.
You've got a couple. Outside of termites, you've got western wood cockroaches, at least, and some native termite species. Termites are cockroaches. For a long time, up to and including, at least when we were undergrads, 15, 20 years ago now.
yes.
Yeah, they were their own order, Isoptera. And so we thought they were related to but distinct from cockroaches. And when we started getting DNA work, it turns out, no, they're not related to they're not like sister to cockroaches. There's cockroaches and then termites next to them in the phylogeny. They like come out of cockroaches. So they're highly evolved social cockroaches that feed on dead wood. But if you look at cockroaches, they're related to this group called, now that I'm on the spot, Cryptocercus, that are also semi-social wood-feeding, just straight-up cockroaches. They look like cockroaches that you would find anywhere else, and that's the group that's most closely related to all of the termites. So it makes sense. They're like, oh yeah, there's the cockroaches that eat the wood and are social. Here are the termites that are just that, but like more so. So cockroaches and termites are related. Termites are cockroaches.
That is unbelievable to me. All this time, they've been lying to me. They've been lying to me for 20 years now. I haven't heard this information.
Yeah, there's still textbooks and people in the entomology departments that refuse to teach that.
Yeah. It's a bit salty. Yes. Praying mantises are like predatory cockroaches, or they're related to cockroaches, right? Like they're the next outgroup, right?
So you say like, that, and I can see that because they've got the same sort of like, you know,
the same gestalt. What?
Yeah, they got the same general shape and feel, except for that they got the legs, you know. So that's just a cockroach with some martial arts training, but but a termite is like a totally different shape in my brain, but.
It is a little harder to picture, but it's cool. It's very, very cool. And that's why using DNA has been invaluable to taxonomy. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, the first article I get here is the termite is a cockroach. No, really? From Entonation.com. We're not making it up.
One of my friends presented at NASBR, the North American Bat Research Symposium, and or maybe getting the acronym twisted, but she found a spike in the bat guano of cockroach DNA. And she was confused by this at first until we talked about it, and it was the termite emergences as they were swarming, and all the bats feeding on those would cause spikes in those showing up. Suddenly, I think it was in like June or July.
That's very cool.
Very true.
Has there been other cases of that where we've been walking along thinking two animals weren't related and then we do their DNA and we're like, you are the father. It turns out the paternity is in.
Today on Maury. You like are a cockroach.
It's like an ant and a cockroach and then like the queen termite's like, my babies, my hundreds and hundreds of babies. They need their father. So sorry, we've got off track here. But I just wonder what else we're going to find. You know, like, I remember as a kid, they were like, the pika is more closely related to the elephant than a beaver. And I was like, that can't be true. But I wonder.
You're thinking of the hyrax.
Hyrax. That's probably
pikas are, or pikas are rabbits.
Are rabbits, yeah. I think maybe elephant shrew or shrew are more closely related to elephants. There's been some
whatever it was. Things, yeah. I just wonder what else we'll find when we genome all these crazy animals. Like my son asked me what the difference between a crocodile and a lizard is the other day, and I was like, I don't know. One's a big semi-aquatic. Yeah. Like, he was like, but to him, same general size and shape. He was like, where's the difference come from? And I was like, you're asking the wrong mom. You'll have to go ask someone else about that.
So now that your mind has been blown about the origins of cockroaches,
truly,
have you had any questions about cockroaches, Amanda? I know your boy loves bugs. Does he?
Yeah, he's a big bug boy. I think my only real question is, what did they eat before there was people? Because, you know, again, we associate them with kind of these garbage eaters, but that's just what they do because it's so easy. We make it so easy for them. But it sounds like the answer is dead wood for at least a significant chunk of them.
Yeah, well, I don't even know what the numbers are. I'm not doing Googling, but there are a lot of different cockroaches and they eat pretty much everything, I would think. Mm. Like, they're pretty omnivorous. And I mean, I have Madagascar hissing cockroaches as pets. / I can't get rid of them. So they eat dog food and they eat any of my, I guess, scraps, like apple, lettuce, whatever we put in there. So, I mean, they survive. I don't give them any water. They get that from their fruit. But
I wrote a bunch of this down because this is one of my favorite things about cockroaches. I would betray my comic book knowledge. They're like matter eater lad. They can basically eat anything. Book bindings, leather, taxidermied critters, cardboard. What was the other thing? Their own exoskeletons. They'll eat other insects if they get a hold of them. Feces. Hair, skin, and nails. Have you ever seen that, Joe? Like people's toenail clippings, they'll eat those.
Wow. I mean, I wouldn't put it past them.
I've got questions about why your toenail clippings are out for them to get.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't just like sprinkle them about for roaches, but I would experiment with it, perchance.
Yeah. Who is the person who tried to feed them their nails in the first place?
You're going to give them a taste for humans, and then we're all doomed. just going to all get together and be like, well, they're delicious. No. They got to go.
There was one point that there were reports or something about the roaches feeding on like babies and cribs. And I think that I was interested in doing that kind of research, but it was not something you could do.
It's hard to get things what you just said.
Hard to right?
Like, hard to be past the
or just board. Like, yeah, yes.
Just put a so what I need ham in there. Is
babies.
Well, because
does anyone want to volunteer their baby to get nibbled on by cockroaches? It's like why we don't have a lot of pregnant trials, because everyone, you know, they're not super interested in testing on pregnant women, because then you have to test on a pregnant woman. Generally frowned upon in our society.
Have you heard of cockroaches eating bed bugs? Yeah, I know they are found in the same place. I don't know. Cockroaches would eat the bed bugs because they've got the chewing mouth parts.
Yeah, they could probably eat whatever they can catch, right? They're not distinguishing between different insect species. They're just, this is munchy and crunchy, and I'm going to put it in my mouth. Cockroach.
And I have known someone to collect their toenails, so, like.
They're not predatory per se, though. Like, they're omnivorous, so if they could catch it, but they're not, like, going out of their way, so.
Yeah.
My feeling would be if you've got cockroaches eating bedbugs, you've got two very bad infestations anyhow, then you've got worse problems. Like, there's got to be a lot of bedbugs and a lot of cockroaches to make that happen.
It's not going to be a boom in the biocontrol market, I think, is the message to take home.
Yeah, Derek said before that, like, by the time you see a rat, there's way too many rats. Like, you're already infested with rats because they don't want to be seen. So if one's out, it's because he has nowhere to fit inside of where the rats are.
Is that similar for cockroaches? If you see one, there's automatically many?
Depends.
Depends.
It depends what kind of cockroach. So for me, so I'm in extension, and so the public usually calls me if they see something. And it's
Sorry, one moment. Can you guys explain what an extension service entomologist is?
You want me to do it?
Well, you're the one that you are all about the three corners of the land grant.
I do love the three corners of the land grant mission, and I love the extension side. So every state has a land grant university. Some states have more than one because of racism in the past and currently. So with the extension system, what we see is that the states put these schools together, and they're supposed to be an arm of the university that is public facing and takes the research and education to the people. People pay taxes to fund these universities. And so there is a cooperative extension service in each state that is supposed to serve the public.
Oh, very cool. Thank you. I don't know what ours is in New Jersey. Probably Rutgers.
Rutgers would be in New Jersey, Washington State up in Washington.
Yeah, if it's a blank state university, or, you know, if state is in the name of the school, it's generally a good guess that that's your land grant that has the extension service tied to it, unless you're Indiana and you have Purdue.
Well, and Rutgers doesn't have state in the name. Rutgers. Cornell predates the land grant act. So, yeah, there are some exceptions to that.
Derek, do you know which one it is for Oregon, Derek? Because we have two states.
It's OSU.
That's what I figured. Okay, sorry, go on.
Yeah, so, in Nebraska, I work for Extension, so I'm not in an entomology department, but I'm, like, in a county office. And so I'm with, like, in the community, and I deal with the public. So a lot of times in university settings where Jonathan and Mike are, they communicate with researchers, students, professors, and I deal with the public. So I get some really weird stuff.
RIP your inbox.
I could probably relate a lot with Derek and, you know, some of the work that I do, except I don't dispatch anyone or go really fix people's problems. I do a lot of identification. So going back to your question about, could there just be one? If someone brings in, like, just say a German cockroach, and it's an adult and it's a male, and they found it, like, I don't know, in a box, blah, 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 I could say, well, that could be just one because it was a hitchhiker, you brought it in. But if, like, you woke up in your apartment and flicked on the light and saw things scatter, yeah, there's more than one. Or if you're in your kitchen and there's tiny little nymphs, yeah, there's more than one, you know, because the younger they are, the less distance they go from where their harborage is. So if you're seeing little ones, you probably have, you know, if you see a little roach, you might have more than that.
Identification is key, though. To jump off what Jody said, probably half of my cockroach IDs are native woodroaches, the genus Parcoblatta. And it makes sense. Like, they live, this kind of gets at your question of what did they eat historically. Parcoblatta, the woodroaches, live out in the woods under wet logs and leaf litter, and they just eat decaying plant material. They're just out there in the woods eating leaves and dead things. But Pennsylvania is super woody, and so they come into people's houses accidentally all the time, especially if you live in the woods. And people always freak out. They see a cockroach and they assume it's going to infest their house. Because your house isn't filled with wet leaves, they come in and die. There's they don't eat human food or crumbs or anything, so there's nothing for them to eat, and they die. And we live kind of by the woods, and kind of jumping off what Jody said about the nymphs, I found cockroach nymphs in our house once, crawling on the ceiling, and I thought, oh, snap.
I shouldn't have left all these dead leaves on the floor.
Right, well, so I
my leaf worried. Collection.
Leaves, no!
But I got real worried, because nymphs, like, you wouldn't expect to find woodroach nymphs in your house, but I took them into the lab, and that's what they happened to be. So my only guess is, like, a pregnant female came in, laid them, died, and they all died. But, like, yeah, 99% of the time you find nymphs, it's probably an infestation, but you should still get them identified, because maybe it's not an infestation.
Well, no. I think the big association people have is that a cockroach means that dirtiness is happening. Are cockroaches all that dirty? Like, it sounds like they don't eat you or bite you like a mosquito would. They're eating whatever they find. But I know the association is that they're dirty, but are they very dirty?
If you were talking about German roaches, I would say that's like the most unclean species that we deal with as pests. Would you agree, Jody?
Well, yes. But see, the dirty or the germ, it's more like transfer, you know, physically, mechanically on their body. So like them as an insect, let's just say I'm looking at a cockroach, like I don't think on its own it's very dirty, but their behavior makes them something that could be a public health pest.
So they are a little bit dirty. That's what I'm hearing.
They can be.
I worked with German roaches for my master's dissertation. We had a colony. I was doing a predator prey study and sort of a sensory ecology thing. And one of our undergrads left the lid open to our German roach colony. And they can climb any surface, anything. We found them all over the place the next morning. They had no problem. They were like on a window. They just are incredible for that physicality. I don't know if all roaches are quite that sticky, like wall and window sticky, but one out of 10 would not work with them again. A little too tricky.
Do you find that you have a sensitivity at all to roaches after that long of an exposure to them for like a master's project?
No, I don't. I actually have a sensitivity to mosquitoes now from being bitten for a few years for my doctorate, specifically Aedes. Albopictus, I get giant welts on my body now when they bite me. And although what's interesting is my advisor, he worked with butterflies for his doctoral dissertation, and he developed an allergy to their wings because the powder, and now he can't work with butterflies anymore. So it is the cost of being an entomologist is the species maybe you love the most, you probably can't work with forever.
The tragedy of the entomologist.
It's not just insects. My wife has that for mice from working in a mouse lab.
Really?
Yeah.
Maybe I also have it for people.
Don't want to deal with you people anymore.
That's why I work with bugs. So how many different species of roach are pests that we find in our homes that are not non-native, I guess is the way I'm thinking about it, in North America?
how many do you guys specifically deal with? Because you've mentioned German several times now. Is German the one people think of when they think of a cockroach in media?
It depends. Kitchens and bathrooms, German. Mm. Laundry rooms and floor drains, Oriental, also called the water bug.
Dumpsters would be American, I guess. Grease traps.
Steam tunnels.
Oh, yeah.
Connecting basements, American. Except the American roach is also called the palmetto bug, which sounds cute, but it's still an American.
It's a very cute name.
Yeah. And those, so where we are in some places more north, they don't fly, but I know they fly. The palmetto bugs fly into your face when you're North Carolina, that region, Florida.
It's the state bird of Florida, I think. The
And then sometimes we have brown banded cockroaches, and those are the ones I would say, telephones and picture frames. Yeah,
PS5s. High
and
dry.
PS5s.
Why? Yeah. So why do they have that preference? That's a strange place to end up.
They just require less moisture to survive. Mm. So they like high and like really dry places. So if you get that roach and that's what's been identified, someone, you know, exterminator or whatnot should know that it's like more a living area, look behind picture frames, clocks, things like that. So that's why, what Mike said, identification is key to figuring out what you're dealing with and how you can manage it, or if you even need to manage it at all. And then here, in Nebraska, the fifth one I would say would be the wood roaches. We've got, I think we have a couple species, but it's the same as what Mike said about them living outside. And those are the only ones that fly where I live. And so they're attracted to lights, the males. So that's why they'll come flying toward the house. And, you know, with all construction and home building and stuff and wooded areas being cut down, firewood being brought close to the house, you know, you're going to have wood roaches. So I would say those are the five I deal with. There's other places that have like smoky brown and everything. So
the Turkestan roach.
Yes.
Australian roaches.
Yeah, I had an Australian roach in my apartment a couple of years ago. I had one Australian roach and two American roaches. And I caught them.
Having a barbecue.
Yeah. Hanging out. I caught them within a week of each other. They were both adults. And I brought them downstairs in a jar to my leasing office. And I was like, this is what this is. This cannot be in my apartment. Fix it. We live next to the trash chute. So I'm pretty sure that's where they were coming from. And then an exterminator came in and we haven't had a problem since. But living in an apartment building, even a pretty clean, expensive one, they still happen. You know, if you've got a dumpster, you've got roaches probably, at least a little bit.
So you mentioned nymphs. So what is the typical life cycle of a cockroach?
Don't worry,
I'll take that
pauses out.
It's we know about pauses.
Yeah. We'll just stare at each other like, who's going to take this one? Sure. Yeah. So cockroaches have incomplete metamorphosis. So like all insects, they start as eggs. And cockroaches are neat because depending on the species, the females will either just lay the egg sac. It's called an ootheca. And it's a little case that has multiple eggs in it. 10 to 100, depending on the species. And some species just kind of lay that in a protected area and leave it. But other species, and I think American roaches do this. I'm picturing it in my head. Do you know? They carry them around? They don't?
The German cockroach.
Germans do. So some species, apparently German cockroaches. I don't deal with pest cockroaches a lot. The females will like kind of push out the egg sac and it'll just hang out the end of her abdomen as it develops and she'll carry it around.
Exactly
like that. And so it's a way for her to protect that eggs because like she can run away from predators or, you know, if parasitic wasps come along and try to lay eggs, their eggs in her egg case, she can like smack them away. So all cockroaches started as eggs, but even at that stage, species are doing different things. And then from that, the nymphs hatch out, and nymphs, because they have incomplete metamorphosis, look like adults, but small. They also lack wings. And depending on the species, the color pattern might be a little bit different. So German cockroaches, brown bandits, again, they'll change their color pattern as they get bigger. So you can identify, depending on the species, what stage of nymph you've got based on the color pattern. But they it's not like a fly where you have a maggot that looks very different from an adult fly. They kind of look like little baby cockroaches that get bigger and bigger and bigger until they turn into adults that have wings and have their adult coloration. So you've got kind of three stages, eggs, nymphs, and adults.
And something that you talked about on the last podcast was, I think you were talking about, Kelly, like sexual dimorphism.
Oh, yep. Yeah.
Probably. Yeah, so probably. Some of the males and the female adult roaches, you can tell them apart by like sometimes they have like wing buds instead of wing, like full wings, or they have three-quarter inch wings or whatever. But a lot of the females of the roaches that I've explained here do not fly and just aren't able to fly. So
I think we talked about another species where the females generally don't fly, and I don't remember what that was.
I think it was winter moth.
Was it the winter moth? Yeah, when Caitlin was
I think it was.
Yeah. Yeah, the ladies don't have to go anywhere. The males will come to you. That is the joy of being a bug. I guess also the joy of being a human. If we just go to a bar, the males will come to us.
Kelly, did you see that thing about Spider-Verse 2?
What thing? I haven't watched Spider-Verse 2 yet. I'm still
I know. I think Derek put it in the Discord that someone asked Lord and Miller if Miles and Gwen start dating, is Gwen going to try and eat Miles? And the answer was no, because she's a jumping spider. So there you go.
Who are you? That's very cute.
I know you love a jumping spider.
I do love a jumping spider. They're so adorable. We'll have to do a jumping spider episode at some point.
Jody does a good jumping spider dance.
Do you?
Yeah, there you go.
This is perfect for a podcast.
Yeah. It has been brought up that we use a visual medium in our podcast, so that's probably not the best podcast use, but here we are.
Well, it just means you have to go to Instagram to check out Amanda's drawings. That's all. Which is worth it.
Yeah, that's all.
You're a professional podcaster. Yeah, that was a good segue. Really
Join us on Reddit, Twitter, and Instagram.
Speaking of segues, so we're going to draw a hero here. The first question I always have to ask a guest is, do you want this hero to be an attractive hero, or do you want them to be a squatty little Danny DeVito cockroach?
Oh, Danny DeVito.
He's a trash man. He's a trash man.
Doesn't
the heroes only come in two types?
Doesn't Pokemon have like a sexy cockroach? Can I say that on this show?
Oh, you could say that, sure.
Yeah,
I mean, you've already said
it. Might reveal more about you than it does about Pokemon.
No, he's right. Pokemon needs called out. There have been too many sexy Pokemon lately. Too much.
We're also learning more about Amanda every day.
No. I'm going to send you a bunny to the Discord right now, and you tell me that's not a sexy bunny. I'm sorry. These are the facts.
Her name is Pheromosa.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yes. Or you're correct. She's got like one leg.
Pheromosa.
I haven't played Wave Generation, so I just have like the image of the static drawing in my head. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Derek has shared some in the chat. What? Why?
It's interesting because its tarsal claws are like stiletto heels, kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How is she walking on those? Jeez.
Very carefully.
Carefully. Yeah. Slowly.
And the wing cover is hair, hair.
That's cool.
Let's move away from. Let's have Danny DeVito as a cockroach.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just saying, Pokemon needs to get back to animals. Less bipedal human shaped Pokemon, because it's weird. It's like that comic. Have you seen it? Where like you're sleeping with your Pikachu, adorable. You're sleeping with a Machamp, creepy. Don't do that.
For the longest time, I didn't realize those were Lopunny's arms, and I thought that was real weird for Pokemon.
Oh no.
But now
Pokemon
I see
has
it.
Gotten real inappropriate.
Oh, I gotta find the official art of it. I will. I'm gonna send you that bunny later because I should draw. But just know that the bunny is. She's a Lola bunny, is what she is. Anyway, yeah.
Well, what superpowers would you give a cockroach hero?
So we've already said that he can eat pretty much anything.
Mm-hmm.
I think the common trope is that they'll survive anything, that they're just impenetrable. A nuclear bomb goes off and the cockroach will remain. How true is that, really?
I did some fact checking on that before we got on the horn today, just because that is something I get asked a lot when I do talk about cockroaches. And I have found, apparently, it's not true that they would survive a nuclear blast, but it is factual that they can survive 10 times higher amounts of radiation than human beings. So they have the ability to survive, I guess, is it more rads? I don't really know how you measure nuclear energy, but they can survive a higher amount than we can. But if a bomb goes off, they're going to die.
They're going to die. Well, I wonder if that's just inherent in arthropods in general. If it's not just a roach thing, perhaps.
That's a good point.
So then you couldn't irradiate a cockroach for it to become the Hulk. They would just be like, that doesn't do anything to me.
They would just brush it off. We're fine.
I mean, it's kind of a shame for the insects. They can't turn into superheroes that way.
They have to find other tragic
paths.
They
can only transfer their superheroicness to humans by biting us.
Oh, I would not want to be the superhero who was bitten by a roach and has roach powers. That sounds kind of rough. Although flight and super speed.
It would fit in with the Marvel universe, though.
Yeah.
Think about how ostracized you would be if you were a cockroach man.
The super speed is a thing. I mean, they can move, 50 body lengths per second.
Wow. That is fast. That is very fast.
And they can get into very tiny spaces.
Jody has a really cool, you had some GIFs once in a talk about cockroaches and you showed them getting compressed.
Oh yeah, that was a National Geographic video. I put that in my cockroach talk.
Oh, very cool. Very cool.
Oh, and it's actually along these lines, because, you know, when I say, well, you know, you may have cockroaches, it may be hard to get rid of them, and this is why, because they have these superpowers. And then I talk about like how fast they can run, how they can sneak into small, tiny cracks and crevices. And then there's the video is of them running, and they just keep lowering it and lowering it to I don't know how many millimeters, and they can still get through. And then they've got like some machine that comes down and crushes them, and they keep running, and they crushes them even lower, and they keep going and going. And so I don't know how many pounds of pressure it is, but they can.
I just found it. So I can okay. say they can squeeze through something that's a fourth of their body height. So wow. you can compress yourself down to that thin. And also they can withstand 900 times their own body weight before they're squished.
It's a good thing I weigh more than 900 cockroaches.
Well, I'm picturing...
We'd all be in danger.
I'm picturing Hermes Conrad from Futurama Limbo Wings under the door.
Yeah, precisely. You have accurately depicted it.
I just keep wanting to say, I'm a trash man as I'm drawing Danny DeVito as a cockroach over here. I'm trying not to make it Danny DeVito, but...
I was going to say, are you going to make it his face?
If we've got a boy cockroach, it could probably fly.
That's true. So add flight to the list.
All right, so we'll make it a man here. Yeah, okay.
I feel like we're getting closer and closer to Danny DeVito as we...
So anyway, I started blasting.
That's my husband's favorite show. I've seen maybe 5 episodes, but it's constantly on in my house because he loves
That's
it.
That's funny. Would you count Cersei as a superpower? Oh.
Maybe. Yeah, why not?
Butt antenna? It's kind of nice.
It's useful. It's useful yeah. to have a butt antenna.
What are you using them for?
Well.
To know what's behind you.
Wouldn't you like to know?
Yeah. Some Hydra guy tries to sneak up on you. I guess Should that would require holes in your pants for them to stick out.
Do you have a favorite species of roach or one that you find the most interesting?
I'm partial to the Madagascar hissing cockroach.
Yeah, so the Madagascar, the hissing What's cockroach that? Is the one that gets pet. It's a pet a lot
yeah.
of the time.
Oh, right? Yeah. Yeah, it's at yeah. the petting zoo usually.
Jonathan, I said, aren't you allergic to the Madagascar hissing cockroach?
Yes, the tragedy of the entomologist that we were talking about before. I used to do a lot of school visits and outreach, and I had a colony of Madagascars. And now when they crawl on me, they leave little pink footprints behind. And if I itch my eyes will swell up and turn red. So I don't handle them very often anymore.
Mike has a very cute one in the on his head right now. Look at that little guy.
Yeah, see if I can get him to hiss on camera.
That's okay. It's fine.
They can survive 900 times through a lot of
great balls. It's fine. That's what happens when you hold them in front of the mic.
Actually, this is off topic, kind of not really, but the other day my husband's like, there's a bug on the counter, and that's normal. Like, you don't just kill them. You put a glass over top of it and you just leave it there. So you just never drink out of any glasses that are just randomly there upside down. So like, I look at it and I was like, oh yeah, it's probably like I said, oh, it's probably a silverfish or something. I walk out. It is a Madagascar hissing cockroach nymph. So again, probably for the third time, they've gotten lost in my house. So sometimes I have to bring them home if I'm doing a program or something and I have them at the house and then they have babies and I don't really know. And so the nymphs, you know, I don't know. How many are there? 20, 30, 40? I don't know. I've always lost them.
They just get free and wander your home.
Yeah. And I mean, I think they can crawl out of a place that's like at the height of a piece of paper almost. Like they're so flat. I know.
If you ever sell the house, you should put that in the like the attributes.
Yeah.
Free roaming.
Am I remembering correctly that Michael lost a tarantula?
Yes.
Okay.
Mike, didn't you Well, did you lose the tarantula, or was that when you guys were trying to switch containers?
Oh, yeah. No, I didn't lose it. It was very fast, and I was trying to upgrade its container to a bigger one, and it got out and then ran under the center island in our kitchen. And it's a species that is fast and bitey, and the bites hurt.
Ooh.
And so my wife came out and was like, what are you doing? Why is everything off the island? I was like, you need to help me flip it over. There's a tarantula under there. And she was very upset at first. Is fine, expected. but yeah, we flipped it upside down, and the tarantula was kind of like hiding underneath, and I had to gently coax it out from under the island that was flipped over into a container while trying not to be bit or lose it elsewhere in the house.
Oof.
But it worked. We got it in.
You know, God's bless our spouses for putting patient up partners with all the bugs.
I'm lucky that it happened more than 10 years into marriage and not like a week into dating.
I frequently wake up to jars on my desk with random bugs in it that my husband has caught in the morning, or something, or one of our cats has cornered, and he'll grab it and leave it on my desk. And he's like, do you want this to pin? Or sometimes it's just, is this an outside bug or an inside bug?
That's a very specific love language, I think.
It is. I'll take it. One time I had he didn't even put it in a jar. It was just in one of my field nets. It was a spotted lantern fly just in it with the net twisted on my desk. And I said, I guess I'm taking care of this now. That one was pinned.
Boo, spotted lantern flies.
Yeah, they suck. Although.
Yeah, how's it been this year in comparison to last year?
New Jersey, really light, at least in where I am. Surprisingly light. I don't know what happened. Maybe they emerged too soon, and because we did have a bit of a cold front at some point, but or maybe trees were treated. I'm not sure, but almost none. Michael, are you in Pennsylvania?
I am.
All right. How's your lanternfly population going? Because you're like where it began.
No, so I'm up in Center County.
You're Center County, okay.
We've got an established population here, at a business that deals in car and truck rentals. Which makes sense, but it's the only population in the county. So the county's quarantined for that.
Oh, wow.
But I kind of got the same, like, clients have been telling me, like, oh, they're here, they're not here, what's going on? So I talked to the folks doing the spotted lanternfly research, and the good news is now that, like, they've been established in certain places for a while, we thought that, like, they would feed on trees for 2, 3, 4 years and then kill the tree because they're kind of suck them dry. And, you know, that's too much stress over that period of time. But it looks like it may not be quite as bad because spotted lanternflies, once they get established in an area, the populations get real patchy. And so you'll have one area where you get hammered for a year, and then they kind of move on to a different area, and then a different part will have a high population. And so you're probably just seeing like natural variations, like you're going to see ups and downs year to year now. But the good news is all those trees that get fed on, they have time to recover in between high feedings. And so it looks like we thought there was going to be this like landscape wide killing off of trees. But because lanternflies are becoming patchy, the trees have time to kind of recover between major feedings.
That's great.
So yeah, that's probably just kind of the natural flow of things now until we get some biocontrol released or some other long-term control methods in place. But yeah, it's good news.
Parasitoid wasp options I'd read about, and birds are eating them now. I've seen birds. I've seen starlings going for them and robins. So maybe they're working them their way into the natural system, which is always good.
Nature finds a way.
My cat tried to eat them, and he did not like them. I think they taste pretty wretched to a mammal.
Which is the reason they're brightly colored.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're not faking it. They're gross.
No.
Amanda, how is our hero coming?
Right now he's holding an indistinguishable sack lunch and a half a sandwich. I'm trying to decide what to put in his lower arms. If he needs a... maybe a child.
Oh, you can give him a purse, like one of those Uthika things with a lot of little babies in it.
Ooh.
Many, many children.
Twins.
Is reproductive potential a superpower?
Well, his isn't, wait, but maybe he picked it up along the way.
Maybe he's going to eat these babies. You don't know.
Can we talk about their names? Their common names?
I was wondering if that was going to come up.
It's up.
Okay, well, let's talk about the common names. A lot of the four most common pest roaches are American cockroaches, Oriental cockroaches, German cockroaches, and brown bandeds. If we throw brown bandeds out of the mix, there's three cockroaches that are named after peoples or places. And the thing is, those three species did not originate in the places that they are named for. So German cockroaches are not from Germany. Actually, I'd have to look it up, but I'm pretty sure almost all of them are from Africa. A lot of our pest species come from Africa. And so what happened, John and Jody, correct me if I'm wrong, but these things get named because of racism, I think. Like, we named German cockroaches because, like, the people naming them dislike the Germans, and it just kind of sticks.
There is some of that. What I've read most recently, and I just put it in the chat box if people want to look at it, is that German came from the fact that Linnaeus first received one of these roaches from a county in Germany, and then he, like, reflected that in the name. It wasn't supposed to necessarily be an insult, but that if you look at, like, names that people use every day for cockroaches, they do typically reflect, nationalistic rivalries. If you read through this, it's a Christian Science Monitor article, but they, like, you could go somewhere in Poland and you'll hear them refer to cockroaches as Frenchies, basically, Francuzzi, I think. There are other nations where you would have them be called Prussians, because they are invading and doing all kinds of Prussian stuff, apparently, to them. The American cockroach, I assume, is because it has a McDonald's logo on its back. I don't really know.
It's because it's extremely
catastrophic. That's interesting, because we hear about that. The joke is in Pest Control that Linnaeus named them the Norway rat because he was Swedish.
Oh,
maybe he is. Maybe he's. Maybe. Maybe he was a bigger jerk than I reckoned.
He was a man of a certain era. So
that is a very polite way to put it.
And he classified humans into different subspecies. So,
yeah,
I think this is an interesting topic just based on what's going on with the better common names folks at the Entomological Society of America. I mean, they've pretty much said that all these names based on geography are on the table, it sounds like, for changing.
Which is great.
Yeah, it is great. And we've already seen it happen now with the spongy moth. The Asian giant hornet is now the northern giant hornet. So I do sometimes wonder if we won't see German cockroach get pushed into this conversation or American cockroach. I don't know that they're as prioritized as the other names.
Probably much less prioritized than places in Asia, which, you know, depending on what country you're in, the amount of racism and, you know, Germans and Americans probably don't experience as much racism as other folks. So
it shouldn't be
a priority.
I cringe every time I do a cockroach presentation because I have to say Oriental cockroach, and I never know how that's going to be received just because it is a loaded word nowadays. I don't know if that's on the list. I wonder what will happen.
I've noticed that Facebook, when a German or an Asian cockroach comes up in the Facebook identification groups, if you describe it as an Asian cockroach, Facebook takes that out. You have to, it hides the comments.
Really?
So you have to use the scientific name or else your comment gets pulled.
Kudos to Facebook, like one thing that they're doing to fight racism, I guess.
The one thing.
We've done one thing right.
We've supported some genocides, but this is good.
Good.
And they want to fight Elon Musk in a cage. So,
which is funny.
Two victories.
Let them fight. Let them fight.
I am all for that.
I mean, Zuckerberg's been doing martial arts training for a long time. He's pretty fit. I would love to watch that fight.
And, he's also meddled, So
yeah, I was going to say his robotic endoskeleton will also serve him well.
You're going to punch him and then, my gosh.
Although Elon Musk has that like weird Rob Liefeld chest cavity kind of thing going for him.
That barrel chest?
He's a
shape. We'll just say that.
I love that you describe it as Rob Liefeld. That is, I mean, it's spot on, but
like that. There's that really infamous Captain America cover where he's just like nothing but pectorals. Yeah,
yes, that was exactly what was in my mind.
This is the right podcast to talk about that. So,
you guys have a favorite bug themed hero? We've had a real bug themed explosion. Derek's seen 3 bug movies this summer.
4.
4 bug
movies. Bug themed or like bug superpowered?
Bug soup, whatever. Okay. And we're very loose with the term bug here. So okay. Spider-Man also a bug.
Spider-Man also flies. I mean, Spider-Man is my favorite superhero, but I have always had a soft spot for Ted Kord era Blue Beetle. Just because of the alliteration. Same. And his vehicle and his little goggly eyes.
I love his little goggles.
Yeah, exactly. I've desperately wanted to recreate those and wear them in the lab, just, you know, being weird. But he always captivated me.
He has a really strong outfit. His is very, very good. The Ted Kord Blue Beetle is one of my favorite superhero outfits.
I did see the movie last night.
And
how was it, Derek? Give us the spoiler-free.
It's my third favorite bug-themed superhero movie of the year.
Out of the 4.
So first is Shin Kamen Rider, Grasshopper themed.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Then it's Across the Spider-Verse, and then Blue Beetle, and then Ant-Man, and I presume Miraculous Ladybug will be 5th. You gotta watch that this weekend.
Miraculous.
But it's in the top 5.
Yeah.
The top 5 of the 5. Yeah.
Yeah. We're all about lying with statistics here.
Well, Mike, Jody, do you have a favorite bug-themed superhero?
I don't, because I just don't. Jonathan can explain. I don't even watch movies.
You don't watch any movies? You're a movie freak.
She doesn't watch movies. I've never seen her eat. The only things that she does is look at bugs and walk around and like try to break into people's yards.
She has been drinking water. Bugs.
She's also a Zuckerberg android. Give me the bugs.
Well, I wasn't even on the Pokemon episode that we did because I don't know anything about Pokemon. I looked at that sexy roach and I was like, ooh,
get it out of here.
Yeah, I don't know. What?
I said there's also a trash bag Pokemon. So like,
yeah, trubbish.
But yet Pokemon is off the rails with Pokemon designs lately. Get back to cats that are mint themed. That's what I want.
I mean, the first generation had a bunch of eggs.
That's true. Also, so my son has recently started watching Pokemon. Did you know that Togepi is only an egg for 4 episodes?
It felt like a lot longer than that.
It felt like forever as a kid. Yeah. Like, when's this egg going to hatch? When's this egg? And then it hatches into an egg. So it was kind of anticlimactic. Right.
Very disappointing. Can I pick a superhero for Jody to like?
Yeah. What was Jody like?
Oh, man. I've put too much pressure on myself. I was going to say the Wasp just because I like her superpower set.
She's a badass.
Yeah, I don't know the Wasp, but I have been called a Wasp by people.
I would take it as a compliment.
I did take it as a compliment because she was just like, if people don't bother you, you're fine. And then if they bother you, like, you sting them, you sting them good, and then they hate you. And I'm like, I'm okay with that.
My dad always said, don't get in fights, but if you're going to get in a fight, make it the last fight. So, one and done. A philosophy I've lived by. You're only going to cross me the one time, and then it's over.
I can't imagine you fighting, Amanda. You're so nice and friendly.
Oh, that's not true.
Well, oh. Let the
Don't
brother
cross me, Kelly. These knuckles are scarred for a reason. That's all I'll say.
Well, Mike, favorite bug-themed superhero?
Oh, gosh. So... I read comics, but I don't enjoy superhero comics, so I don't know them too well. So I'm going to pick a deep cut that I think John will laugh at and maybe nobody else. I'm going to go with Brown Widow, who is voiced by Nathan Fillion on the Venture Brothers cartoon.
Oh, surprisingly a number of bug-themed characters on the Venture Brothers.
It is, and it's my favorite cartoon and maybe one of my favorite shows, and I love Nathan Fillion for Firefly.
Oh, yeah.
But I love how they riffed on Spider-Man with that character in his butt spinnerets. And so, like, all of it was the perfect joke that I laughed about a lot. And so I'm gonna pick Brown Widow.
Perfect. I like it. I'm going to give that one a 10 out of 10 because I love a Venture Brothers reference. We do, so Derek and I at Comic-Cons, we do a panel discussion where we talk about the superpowers of Spider-Man is one of our talks. We're going to do one in Rose City coming up in September called Wolverines Don't Howl. And we discuss the sort of the animal analog abilities to what the heroes have. It's very fun. But for our Spider-Man talk, we definitely mentioned butt spinnerets are the way Peter Parker should be doing things, but
especially in the Raimi movies, right? Like if you're gonna go biological,
yeah,
the webs,
they gotta be coming out the right spot.
Yeah.
But I imagine it'd be very difficult to swing that way with your body kind of limp and, you know,
a lot of somersaults.
Heroes find a way.
Yeah.
With great power comes great butt responsibility.
Did we have any? I know we had a couple listener questions. Where are those?
Throw those in.
Are they in Discord?
Yeah, if you open the live recording chat, I'll throw those in for you.
Thank you. Derek helps us keep organized.
That's what a producer does.
Yeah, he's great. He makes me sound smart, which I really appreciate. We do have a few listener questions. Oh, this question I get a lot about a lot of bugs. How can people get over their fears of cockroaches and other bugs?
I've used the Madagascar hissing cockroach in a couple of those situations. I forget what it's called.
What's exposure it? Therapy.
Yeah.
Exposure therapy, yeah.
Exposure therapy, yeah. Just keep going to bug zoos.
Yeah, it's kind of like that.
Oregon has a new bug zoo, and ours is pretty good.
Yeah, seeing pictures first, seeing them in real life, if you want to touch them, and then holding them, and maybe even like some macro photography, you know, it's helped people look at things, and also like not all the pesty ones, look at some really pretty insects, colorful insects.
Avoid Blabberus giganteus.
Blabberus giganteus?
What is that?
Giant cockroach. How big is it, Jody?
Oh, it's
4 inches.
It's big. So when I was in college, and part of my assistantship was actually taking care of the exotic cockroach colonies. And so there was this room, kind of picture like a giant walk-in cooler, but it wasn't cool. It was kind of warm. But inside there was shelves with 5 gallon buckets, and each of those 5 gallon buckets had kind of like wood chips at the bottom and then cardboard rolled up. And then we would have like, we called it rat chow, dry pellets for food. And then like a little watering container with this cotton wick. So they had food and water, and there would just be all different kinds of roaches just in case anyone needed to do research and needed like a Florida wood roach or,
oh, right.
You know, different lobster roaches, all these different things. And so my job was to take care of them, freeze some if we had too much population, but I could identify them by the way they smelled.
Oh, boy.
There was just so many of them. I don't think they have them anymore, but I lost track of the question. What am I even talking about?
How do you like bugs? How do you learn to like them?
Oh, yeah. So being
right.
I don't even know where I've gone that thing then.
I think in Jody and I's experience, we've often gotten comments like we've done a few things together where it was like just talking about our love for Bugs. Mm-hmm. Remember Bugs and Bourbon Night that we did in that bar? It's like there were people there that they liked Bugs, and then there were other people that showed up because they're like, this sounds really weird. I'm going to watch these two weirdos be weird and drink and have fun. And at the end, they said they felt different about insects. So I think like that's joining great. Entomologists at weird things that you see in your local community, like go to a bug bowl or go to a bug fest. If you're truly afraid, I don't know that that's a great strategy because like fear is hard to get over even with exposure therapy. So you might want like some help, maybe talking to a therapist if it's a true like phobia and things like that.
Yeah.
But if you're just squeamish about them, I think having somebody like excited and passionate about them explain why, like, no, actually this is amazing. Like, sure, it scurries, but like it can eat anything and look at all their babies. They're kind of cute. It kind of breaks down that wall a little bit.
Yeah.
Jody gets very excited.
Yeah.
Me too, Jody.
Me too.
There's some like gateway bugs too that are less scary. So like lightning bugs, certain, like some people hate moths, but some butterflies, some cool beetles, cicadas. Like when you have the exoskeleton, a lot of times like that could be a gateway into curiosity for for kids and other people, you know, because there's nothing living it anymore. You learn about the life cycle. Mm. So then it's more interesting. So I guess for me, you know, my background is pest management and that's what people call me for. But hopefully there's also like a certain respect or appreciation. Because even with cockroaches, as gross as people think they are, there's some really fascinating things about cockroaches. And not all cockroaches are like brown. There are some really beautiful cockroaches, you know, of the, I don't know how many thousands in the world. And like, they are like superheroes. They have some really, really cool adaptations and, you know, things that keep the, like, that allow them to survive for this long. Right. So,
yeah, and that's that enthusiasm. You are like brimming with cockroach love right now, and it helps people be into it. I love showing my friends' kids all the bugs in their yard, and now they bring them to me. Aunt Kelly, what's this bug? Or we had I mentioned this in one episode, but we had a funeral for a spider that my little buddy had found, my friend's son, and we talked about how spiders live and. He was worried that the spider's family would be sad. It was the cutest thing I've ever seen. But it's just that enthusiasm. It's that brightness about insects. And I think reminding people that they're animals. Mm-hmm. They're an animal and they're a living thing and they have a nervous system and they have a life. And we should be respectful and also interested because they're a lot more interesting than humans. We're pretty boring as far as animals go.
Our superpowers are sweating and what is it? Following things until they're exhausted, basically.
Yes, correct. Forest predator.
I think it helps to have kids around too. Like in my experience, if kids are enthused about bugs and touching bugs, the parents will. And I've had parents walk up like, you're disgusting. Like, why are you doing that? And then their kid pets all the stuff. And then they're like, well, I have to do it too now because I don't want to get showed up by my kid. So I do think it helps sometimes to have that childlike wonder in the atmosphere.
Oh, definitely.
Because it is kind of learned, right? Like,
Yeah. Yeah. So just to have a role model or someone there with someone, if they're afraid to be with someone who's not and could just calm them down and make sure, you know, like we never push things on people. Like you need to hold this. Right. So it's like, you don't have to like it. Not, you know, the cool thing about, you know, bugs is that there's like a million. So you can't hate them all. You don't have to love them all, but let's try to respect them, you know, and that they're part of the ecosystem. And, you know, there's a reason usually why people have these pest cockroaches. So, you know, deal with the conducive conditions or the reason why this cockroach got into your home, you know, don't burn.
It's not their fault. Yeah. Well, I get the question all the time. If we removed all mosquitoes from the world, would this be a bad thing? Which is like sand in my underwear. I can't stand that question. But for you guys, and I'm picture me like Anakin. I hate sand in this situation. It's not good. But if we removed all cockroaches, would that be a bad thing? Like if we extend this question out to other species. So if every cockroach on the planet were gone, what would that do?
Be a tragedy. I think it would be bad. I mean, they're a natural part of the decomposition system or cycle on our planet. If you go out into the woods, they're breaking stuff down and returning nutrients to nature, just like dung beetles and all the cerambycids and everything else that are out there. Lots of things eat them. I hate when that's like the sole reason for something to exist, but like it is important. They're a huge wad of protein for lots of different animals out there.
Well, breaking things down, like termites are cockroaches. So in like forest systems around here, you would just have a huge buildup of woody debris on the forest floor because those termites aren't breaking them down. And then you've got like all kinds of fuel for forest fires. So like, yeah, they break down leaf litter, but the termites are breaking down wood. And if you go to places like Africa where they're not feeding on wood, they're feeding on things like grasses, you would totally change the ecosystems if we removed all of them.
There would perhaps be more horrifying fungi out there. The trees would be rotting all around us.
That's the real take home. Fungi terrifying. Let's just keep their levels down as much as possible.
They know no gods. No. The fungi. They're not to be trusted.
They are the gods.
They live underground. They're going to last of us, all of us, in any given moment. Listener Joanna wanted to know about cockroaches surviving house fires. Is that a thing? I mean, you just said that like our woods would be covered in debris if we didn't have the cockroach termites. So do they survive forest fires or house fires, cockroaches?
I've never heard this question before.
Yeah.
I've heard many, many cockroach, like the nuclear thing and cutting their head off thing, but I've never had anybody say, oh, if I burn my house down, will they survive?
I'm going to say no. Like, they'll burn just like anything else. They might scurry. They would leave.
Yeah. I think that they would just be like, oh, it's too hot. Let's go.
I would not recommend that as their management.
That's a bad management technique.
Fire and gasoline should never be a part of your pest control strategy program, I would argue. Maybe not never. You can do some weed control with like propane propelled flamethrowers that are on the back of a tractor. Like that is an IPM textbook. So I don't want to say never, but your wasp nest.
I was going to say Dr. Ped said that they had some grasses that they had to burn down.
Yeah.
And that was the only way to get rid of them.
Maybe if it's got legs, don't use fire. Is that a good piece of advice?
If you click, if it's got a nervous system.
Okay, fair enough.
We've taken quite a bit of your time, so we want to be respectful of that. There was one question or one topic I wanted to kind of touch on real quick, and that's nuptial gifts. Because there was that thing about the German roaches. Can you guys talk about that?
Okay, Mike.
Sorry, I know a little bit about this. So cockroaches, like some other insects, give nuptial gifts. So broadly, a nuptial gift is when a male insect, or spider typically, has something to give to a female during mating. Oftentimes it's food, so predatory insects, spiders will bring nuptial gifts for females. They feed on that food instead of the male spider, and that lets them mate. Praying mantises, you could think of a male being eaten as him giving himself as a nuptial gift. Oftentimes these nuptial gifts are full of protein and energy and things that the female needs to make more or better eggs. And so the male, by bringing this gift to her and giving her this food, ensures like not only his survival if it's a predatory species, but also like that his progeny are going to be better because he's giving the female like something to make better eggs with. Some groups, like some of the hanging flies, have gotten so far they'll just spin a silk ball that has nothing in it and present that as a nuptial gift. There's some. Well, it probably evolved.
I'm sure realizes I'll be long gone.
It probably evolved out of giving a real thing and then just kind of turned into these silk balls. Cockroaches do this, at least some species. And so certain species, the males will secrete like an oily, protein-rich secretion from under their wings. And so when they mate, they'll open their wings up and the female will feed on that secretion while they're mating. And it's got protein and other things in it that she needs to make her eggs. And this has, correct me if I'm wrong, John and Jody, this has gotten into or affected mating because of pest control. So in certain pest species, and I think German cockroaches is the one that we know the most about, we use baits and we poison the baits. The cockroaches come along, eat the baits, and die. But there are always some individuals in a population that won't feed on those baits. And so they evolve an aversion to those baits because they're the only ones that survive. And what happened in German roaches is the sugar base that we use, that they've developed an aversion to, is very similar in chemical structure to the nuptial gifts that the males give. And so because they're avoiding the baits to survive, they are having this weird aversion to mating in nuptial gifts. And so there's a kind of a, we're messing that system up too.
Oh, interesting. That's fascinating.
It's a glucose aversion. And so it's the sugary taste of the secretion that the male makes. The females are now averse to the glucose that's in that as well. So they're rejecting their advances.
Right.
Why did you let me go on that rant when you know what's going on?
You said it all. You laid it out. It's just, it's less protein. It's more glue. It's sugar.
Okay. So
we destroyed the candy industry and cockroaches.
Yeah.
The
chocolate industry is flailing.
We're essentially cock-blocking roaches. Derek probably have to bleep that, but yeah.
He comes with his roses and his chocolates. He's like, hey, babes. And she's like, are you trying to kill me right now? Get out of here.
So do you know then, like, how do they mate if there's an aversion to the nuptial gift? Like, it still happens, obviously.
Scrubs.
Is it just at lower rates?
Or getting it.
Scrubs.
She's like, I don't want no scrub. Suddenly the scrubs.
Gosh, I'm going to be listening to TLC all
Scrubs are making strong financial choices.
I guess some females are saying yes, even without the nuptial gift. It becomes unnecessary. Mm-hmm. Maybe the urge to mate is stronger than the urge to receive the gift.
Yeah. Or she just goes, thanks, and just puts it aside. And then
I love chocolate.
I love this.
It's great.
You know me so well.
Jody, can you talk about that from a pest control perspective, though? Like, you used to walk her out. Like, what does it mean when the baits stop working? Those are sort of our go-to method of cockroach control, if we can talk about them as pests rather than superheroes.
Well, yeah, I guess so. But, like, they did reformulate so that they weren't averse. Like, it was a big thing at the time. But there are so many different types of bait now, so they changed the sugar that was in it so that they weren't as much. Cool.
How does the bait work? Like, why do we use cockroach baits rather than stomping on them?
So you mean instead of like baseboard spraying?
Yeah, instead of spraying wall to wall inside
your
house.
What companies should do is use a bait. So a bait, and when I discuss this, I always try to make it relatable. So you have to really know what you're trying to kill in order to use a bait. So it has to be attractive and it needs to be palatable and something that you're going to share with your friends. So, you know, to each of you, what would be the perfect bait for you if you had to eat something that was toxic, right? Like, I'm not going to eat corn on the cob and that's not going to kill me because I don't like getting that in my teeth. So it doesn't matter how good that toxic bait is, I'm not going to eat it. You're not going to kill me that way. You might be able to kill me with like a French fries and bourbon, maybe some poutine. For sure, I would die.
Really, you're killing yourself at that point, aren't you? I mean, yeah. Poutine and bourbon.
I want to go die with Jody. I'm in it for the poutine and the bourbon.
Jody's going out in style.
Yeah, I think mine would be scotch and probably real good New York pizza. I could do that, but also French fries are very tempting. Very, very tempting.
That's a complex bait matrix.
I really like, we call them JoJo's, but they're probably properly known as potato wedges. I like those a lot. I like jalapeno poppers. You could probably kill me with a jalapeno popper. Yeah.
I think if there was anything a nice dish of salsa that was poisoned and sitting out with tortilla chips next to it, I would die.
The whole thing.
You'd play the game of like, how many of these could I eat before it kills me?
There's a threshold. I could do it. I can stop when I want to stop.
It's not a problem. I play that game with, I'm allergic to citrus. And so I can eat pineapple, but only a little bit. And so I'll often play the game of like, how many pineapple bites can I eat before it starts to kill me?
Yeah. So anyway, that's the idea of bait, right? Because then especially like, well, I think, you know, Kelly and I would definitely be not well. So because it would be like, hey, you got to try this. And then, you know, so that's what the bait is. So if I were the cockroach, I would go try the bait. Like they're not necessarily like social, but they do aggregate together and live in the same kind of harborage. So you bring it back and you feed it to the nymphs, you kind of feed it to each other. Cockroaches are also, as amazing as they are, they're also gross in the way that they will eat each other's like saliva, eat each other's poop, all that other stuff. And so that toxic part of the bait will get circulated in that population and then they'll eventually die. So that way there's less, you know, bait available in areas that cockroaches aren't hanging out. And there's not like a broadcast spray for non-targets, humans, pets to get in contact with. So it's very targeted for that cockroach. That's why it's the most effective and targeted for that specific pest. So that's why also knowing your roach and where they're going to be hiding is what you need. Because if you put it in the kitchen, if you had brown banded roaches, you know, in your phone or in a motor or something.
In your PS5.
The PS5 or in your, you know, computer, then, you know, that's not going to help. So, you know, but French fries and bourbon, you know, if you put that there, people are going to, you know, so it's targeted to those specific roaches.
Very cool.
And we do have to suppress them in some situations. I mean, obviously you don't want them in your home or you don't want them in your apartment. But on a large scale, like we're talking about systemic issues, right? Like asthma and allergies are on the rise amongst people who live in multifamily, multi-unit housing, especially ones that have large cockroach populations, because people become sensitized to like cockroach dander and like exoskeleton bits and things that float through the air. And so the baits are our best way at getting at these like huge groups of cockroaches, I guess, and getting rid of them and helping people's health.
Yeah, you can reduce the population really quickly. And I think you have to have like a 95% decrease in order to get that population. Otherwise, they just, I guess, rebound. But yeah, a very serious pest.
They're very hardy. Very hardy. Yeah.
So wait, hold on. Okay, so I know that there's an acceptable threshold of cockroach allowed in like chocolate. If you got this cockroach sensitivity, could you essentially become allergic to chocolate because there's enough cockroach bits in it? Or do you think you couldn't get that sensitive to it?
The threshold should be pretty low for that.
I mean, it's,
like, if you're getting you have a problem.
That's true. Maybe you're eating a lot of chocolate. You don't know.
I would be worried at that point about basically touching any packaged food because there would be conceivably cockroach bits hanging out on any packaging and that kind of surface stuff.
Oh,
maybe
that's
the chocolate would just be spicy. Isn't that how people describe things they're allergic to? Like, oh, these bananas are spicy. And then you realize,
tingly, I think.
Yeah, I need to go to a doctor.
Yeah.
This banana was more zesty than I was anticipating.
Is that what happened with you in citrus?
Because my citrus allergy escalated over years. I was only a little bit allergic as a kid, and I couldn't use orange soaps. And now as an adult, I get like, it's the throatsies and the not goods.
I appreciate the term throatsies.
Well, you know, I don't want to be too dramatic on the podcast.
I like it. I get the grass pokies. I'm allergic to grass. If I touch grass too much, I get hives all over the place. So throatsies is very apt.
So I guess no one can tell you to go outside and touch grass.
Yeah, go touch grass, John.
I was a turf grass entomologist as a grad student, so it was a great chosen career. Just like you as a mosquito ecologist.
The last two orders of business, because I don't want to take up their whole morning, is the leg rating and the art. Okay. Whichever order you'd like to introduce those.
Let's do the art first. So if you look over in the side chat here, there's an Imgur link. And again, I tried not to make it just Danny DeVito, but there was some severe Danny DeVito.
I can hear him.
He's a trash man.
That's cool.
It's amazing.
I like that you got the wings on the back.
And the baby has antenna?
Well, you know.
Oh, yeah, that's a great little bit.
The goggles are great.
The goggles
are a little bit of Blue Beetle in there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I think Derek said to put a McDonald's logo on that, on the bag.
Yeah, I didn't want to get us in trouble. So I trusted that you guys would know that it was a McDonald's bag.
Long, sexy antenna from the Pokemon.
I can't wait to see him colored in. It's got a hoagie.
Yeah, I hope to make him different shades of brown. We've done two trashy bug characters in a row, but we gave one a lot more respect than the other. Dung Beetle's like a proper hero, and here's Cockroach, a trash man.
That is a proper hero, I think.
Yeah. He would hang out with D-Man if he was in the Marvel Universe.
Oh, yeah. He had a strong Plastic Man vibe for me. What he's up to.
Yeah.
He's indestructible. He's irreverent. He's a trash man.
I'm a scat man. That's what I keep thinking.
He's a scat man.
And a little double entendre with the scat man, too.
You know, oh, nice.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, I can't wait to see it fully colored in, Amanda. That's going to be ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Well done.
That's always my hope, is to really push the limits of ridiculousness. What is a superhero, really? But a ridiculous... if you really break down the tropes of superherodom, it's pretty ridiculous. That being said, the new Superman is good, and you should watch it.
All right, Derek is shouting at us to do legs in the Discord.
And
if something pops up on my screen one more time, I will hurt Derek on the other side of the country.
You're going to be here in a month, and you can just get all
the legs. So we usually, at the end of the episode, choose how many legs would we give our bug hero, 0 out of 6, or our bug in general. How would you rate the cockroach? Amanda, do you want to lead?
Oh, I don't know. So if you got rid of all cockroaches, we would die, is what I'm hearing. But if we died, cockroaches would be fine. So high rating. I'm going to say 5 out of 6 legs. Because they're not useful to me in a immediate sense, but they are useful to me.
So they lose a leg.
They lose a leg for not being immediately useful to me. I am ADHD. I like the reward right now, baby. But dead useful. You know, they're...
What's your
being indestructible and eating anything. I think the being able to squeeze through any little sliver of space is very cool. You can't keep them out. All you can do is be unappealing and hope that they don't notice you.
Jody, how are you feeling?
Well, I feel the same way as Amanda. I feel like they are very superhero-y. But, I mean, do you ever give a perfect score? That's my problem.
We have given perfect scores.
I don't remember on what, though.
I think we gave Dung Beetle 6 out of 6 because he surprised us so much by being cool when we weren't expecting him to be.
So I pulled up the ratings. Japanese honeybees got 6 out of 6. Mosquitoes got 6 out of 6 from one of the hosts.
I'll let you guess which one.
Death's Head Hawk Moth got 6 out of 6. Earwigs got a 6 out of 6.
Okay, well, I would probably give it a 6 out of 6. I just didn't know if it was like a pain scale. Like, I'm never going to do the whole amount.
Right.
Because there can always be more pain. But I didn't know. I just wanted to make sure.
Yeah, we're generally pretty generous. We're usually 4 to 5 range unless you're a pretty...
You have to be an emerald ash borer to get real low.
Very harmful. But even they're beautiful, so they get They get points for that.
Oh, Silverfish, I think, got 2. For being bitey little jerks.
A Terragos.
Oh, those tiny little cuties. My problem is I think they're all cute. So no matter what, they always get a couple points from me on cuteness. Mike, what do you think?
I think I'm going to go 4 out of 6.
Explain your reasoning.
I really like native cockroach species. Like Parkablatta are some of my favorite, even though they're kind of bland looking. I just love the idea that like I go out in the woods here and there's a bunch of cockroaches. It gets really cool. And some of the tropical ones are real pretty. But man, pest species are real obnoxious. And the fact that like some termites are cool, but also pest termites, especially when you get into like drywood termites down south, that's real frustrating. And they make us spray a bunch of pesticides that we wouldn't have to otherwise. So I'm going to knock them down a couple pegs for the pest species being annoying.
That's fair.
Fair enough.
And John?
I guess I'll piggyback off what Mike said, and I'll do 5 out of 6 because, like, if we're doing this superheroic wise, I would imagine that Cockroach Man here has a shadow version of himself that looks basically identical, that causes asthma in kids and eats the food out of people's homes and spreads germs while he's trying to like clean up things and make be more like a German or a wood roach perhaps. So we got to take the good with the bad, but I think that it's like the baseline insect in a lot of ways, like the legs, the antenna. There's nothing spectacular about a roach, but they put it all together in this amazing way to become a tank, like an impervious, uncrushable, unradioactivable kind of thing, non-irradiated thing. Maybe that would be a better way of putting it. Use actual English. They're unstoppable machines. They're really neat. And it would make a cool superhero.
Yeah.
Maybe on the Harley Quinn show.
Oh yeah, he'd fit in well in the Harley Quinn show. This little dude here.
I kind of picture a roach hero in The Watchmen.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
He could fit in really well in The Watchmen.
Could really swap out Rorschach for a cockroach. Yeah.
Yeah. Imagine you change nothing about Watchmen except for Danny DeVito plays Rorschach. You guys are all idiots. Don't you see, Manhattan Man? They've got you by your blue balls.
I'm not locked in with them. They're locked in here with me.
I want this now. Someone with better editing skills than me do that.
I think I would probably also give the roach, I think a 4 out of 6 is reasonable. If I could give a half a leg,
if you were to see a bug with half a leg, I think cockroach is high on that list.
Yeah. 4.5. For its survivability, its ingenuity with squeezing and all the different places they can live and the huge variation in cockroach species, they're cool. But again, I'm always biased because all bugs are cool in their own way.
All right.
If you guys want to let everyone know where we can follow you, obviously Arthropod podcast everyone should listen to. Are there other things?
I'm actually really intrigued that we got to do this leg thing last because we just did insect legs on an episode that'll be probably released contemporaneously with this. So if you want to check out our podcast, we're arthro-pod.blogspot.com. The show is also on all your favorite podcatcher apps, just arthro-pod. If you forget the dash, you can't find us, unfortunately.
It's like the hyphen in Spider-Man.
It's exactly like the hyphen in Spider-Man. Thank you very much for understanding my pain.
I can hear that you guys aren't saying the hyphen.
Do you guys have social media accounts you want to plug at all, or?
Sure, you can find me on Twitter, at least, or X, or whatever it is, until that
it's
website.
Twitter. It's Twitter! Yeah. How dare you!
I'm on there! Until the website dies.
Yeah, which is whenever that happens.
But I'm there at mscavarla36. I'm also on Blue Sky now. I'm trying to build that up. At Napoleonic Ento. So I changed handles, trying to come up with something a little more creative.
I'll have to find you. I'm also on Blue Sky now, finally.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, send me a link, Kelly, when you get the chance.
I've got a code, an extra code for you.
Thank you.
I'm on Twitter at Jody Bugsme UNL.
but I haven't been able to tweet much because I can't see.
You need like those jeweler's loops, you know, where they have like the really long ones, and then you can type with those.
I'm also on Twitter. I'm at Bugman John, and my departmental Facebook page is Kentucky Bugs, if you're all still on Facebook. So those are places to find me.
Awesome. Guys, thank you so much for joining us. This was a blast. This was very fun. It's nice to see the faces associated with a podcast that I listen to, too.
Ditto.
Thanks for having us.
Bugs Need Heroes is created by Derek Conrad and Kelly Zimmerman. Hosted by Amanda Allen Knighte and Kelly Zimmerman. Bugs Need Heroes is produced and edited by Derek Conrad. Our music is Ladybug Castle by Roll Music. All character art by Amanda Allen Knighte. Got a bug question? Email us at bugsneedheroes@gmail.com. Check us out on bugsneedheroes.com for the visual companion to our episodes with the artwork of the bug-related heroes. We also have an Instagram, Twitter, and subreddit under the Bugs Need Heroes name. Thanks for coming by.
This is munchy and crunchy, and I'm going to put it in my mouth. Cockroach.